Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Chametz Umatzah, Perek Vav. The name of this set of halachot is Hilchot Chametz Umatzah, and the first five prakim have dealt entirely with chametz, the surim associated with it, the obligation to look for it and destroy it before Pesach, what exactly constitutes chametz, and how to avoid a situation of chimutz while preparing food before and during the holiday. In this perek, the Rambam moves to the halachot of matzah, meaning what is called matzat mitzvah, the matzah which there is a mitzvah to eat on the night of the 15th of Nisan. More generally, this perek and the following two, the last three prakim of Hilchot Chametz Umatzah, discuss the mitzvot of the Seder night. Halacha Aleph. Mitzvat asei min haTorah lechol matzah bilel chamisha asar, shnemar ba'erev tochlu matzot, b'chol makom u'v'chol zman. V'lo tala achila zo b'korban ha-pesach, ela zo mitzvah b'fnei atzma, u'mitzvata kol ha-layla, aval b'sha'ar ha-regel achilat matzah reshut, ratza ochel matzah, ratza ochel orez o dochan o klayot o perot, aval b'lel chamishasar bilvad chova, u'mishachal kazayit yatza yidei chovato. There is a mitzvat asei to eat a kazayit of matzah on the night of the 15th of Nisan, whose source is the pasuk in Parshat Bo of ba'erev tochlu matzot. This amount is somewhere between a third and a half of a typical machine matzah used today. The Rambam doesn't say within how much time this kazayit must be eaten, but like in other areas of halacha, the Shulchan Aruch applies here the measure of kedei achilat pras, the amount of time it takes to eat a pras, which for the Rambam is 9 kazaitim. The exact duration of this period is a debate among achronim, with opinions ranging from 2 to 9 minutes, and in practice, poskim recommend eating a kazayit of matzah within 4 minutes. If this isn't possible, then one may rely on a more lenient opinion of the duration of kedei achilat pras. Unlike maror, which we'll learn about in the next perek, the Torah does not connect the eating of matzah solely to the consumption of the korban pesach, and so the mitzvah d'oraita of matzah applies in all places and all times, even nowadays when we don't have a korban pesach. On the rest of the holiday, there is no mitzvah to eat matzah, except, of course, as lechem mishnah on Yom Tov and Shabbat meals, and one may eat instead fruit, vegetables, and rice. The last, of course, only if his minag is to eat kitniot. The Rambam rules that the mitzvah of eating matzah can be performed all night. The Magen Mishnah points out that this is a machloket between the Tanaim, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. Rabbi Akiva believes that both matzah and the Korban Pesach can be eaten all night, but Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria believes that both must be eaten by chatzot, midnight. While the Rambam accepts the view of Rabbi Akiva, whose opinion is typically accepted when he argues with any other individual Tana, other Rishonim accept the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria because of several Mishnayot in Shas which do the same. The Shulchan Aruch rules that one must be careful to eat all the matzah of the Seder, including the afikoman, which we'll discuss later, by chatzot, in accordance with these other Rishonim. The Biur Halacha adds that if one does not even get to eating matzah until after chatzot, then he must eat it then based on the Pesach of the Rambam. But he shouldn't make a bracha, out of a concern that the opinion of the other Rishonim may be correct. There are two different girsaot in the text of the Rambam in the beginning of the next halacha, which affect how to understand the remainder of the halacha. I'll read halacha bet first with a girsa that seems to be the one which the Ravid and the Shulchan Aruch had. Bala matzah yatsa, bala maror lo yatsa, bala matzah umaror keechad, yidei matzah yatsa, yidei maror lo yatsa, shamaror kitfeila la matzah. Kerachan besiv v'chayotzebo uvla'an, af yidei matzah lo yatsa. If one swallows matzah without chewing it, he is yotze, as even this is considered eating. But if one does the same for maror, he isn't yotze the mitzvah of eating maror, because the maror is meant to remind us of the bitterness of servitude, and so it is critical that one experience its bitter taste. If one swallows matzah and maror together, then the halacha is the same. He is yotze the mitzvah of matzah, but not that of maror. But the Rambam adds a seemingly superfluous and incorrect reason, shaha maror tfeila la matzah, because the maror is considered secondary to the matzah. The Ravid asks, why does the Rambam say this? The reason one isn't yotze maror when he swallows both together is not because the maror is secondary, it's because he doesn't taste the maror. The Magen Mishnah clarifies what the Rambam means. He isn't explaining why one isn't yotze maror, but rather why he is yotze matzah, despite the maror which is in his mouth at the same time. In the last case in the halacha, one who swallows matzah wrapped in an inedible capsule, a sieve, isn't yotzei matzah, because the capsule serves as a barrier between the matzah and his mouth, so this isn't considered eating. According to the Magen Mishnah, the words shahamoror tfeila lematzah explain why the same isn't true when matzah is eaten with maror. The maror is secondary to the matzah and thus doesn't represent a barrier between the matzah and his mouth, so it doesn't interfere with being yotzei the mitzvah of matzah. I mentioned that there is a second girsa in the text of this halacha, which is quoted by the Lechem Mishnah. In this girsa, the Rambam rules in the beginning, bala maror yatsa. One is yotze if he swallows maror without chewing it, because even in swallowing without chewing, one tastes the maror on some minimal level. In this girsa, the continuation of the halacha makes more sense. Even though he is yotze when he swallows maror alone, he isn't yotze maror when he swallows maror together with matzah, because hamaror tfeila lematzah, the maror is secondary to the matzah and does not leave any taste at all in the process of being swallowed. Halacha Gimel. Achal matzah below kavana, kigon sha'anasuhu goyim le'echol, yatzai de chovato. Achal kazait matzah, vuhu nichpe be'eit shtuto, v'achar kach nitrapei, chayav le'chol achar shnitrapei, lefi sha'ota achila haita b'sha'a sha'ya patur mikol ha'mitzvot. One who eats matzah without kavana to be yotze, like if he is being forced by a non-Jew to eat matzah, is nonetheless yotze. This psak is surprising, as it violates the principle of mitzvot srichot kavana, which we discussed back in Hilchot Kriyat Shema. In Hilchot Shofar, the Rambam seems to accept this principle, contradicting what he says here. We'll see when we get there the explanation of the Kesef Mishnah to resolve this contradiction. While the Shulchan Aruch accepts the lenient psak of the Rambam, the Mishnah Berurah points out that many Rishonim disagree, and therefore anyone who eats matzah without kavana to be yotzei should definitely eat matzah again. Someone afflicted with spells of epilepsy or some other disease in which he temporarily loses control of his faculties is entirely exempt from mitzvot during these spells. Therefore, if he eats matzah during that time, he isn't yotze and must eat again after he recovers. Halacha Dalet. Ein adam yotze yidei chovat achilat matzah ela im achala meyachad mechameshet haminin. Shnamar lo yeachel chametz. V'namar tochlu matzot. Dvarim haba'in lidei chimutz im achalan matzah yatza behen yidei chovato. Aval shar hadvarim kigon orez v'dochan v'kitniot ein behen matzah lefi she'ein behen chametz. Haose isa min achitim u'mina orez im yesh ba tam dagan yotze ba yidei chovato. The Torah connects the isser of eating chametz during Pesach to the obligation to eat matzah on the night of the 15th of Nisan. The exact pasuk or psukim in which this link is made varies among different girsaot of this halacha. Therefore, one is only yotze the mitzvah of matzah with matzah made from one of the five grains which can become chametz that we saw in the last perek, not matzah made from rice or any other type of kitniot. But the Rambam adds a fascinating detail about matzah made from wheat and rice. If it has the taste of wheat, then one is yotze with it. The Ravid objects and requires that this matzah have enough wheat in it that one who eats a pras of matzah consumes at least a kazayit of wheat. That is, he eats a kazayit of wheat, bichdei achilat pras. This is the opinion of several other Rishonim as well, and Poskim, including the Magen Avraham and Mishnah Berurah, rule that lichatchila one must be machmir for that view. The opinion of the Rambam, based on the Yerushalmi and Masechet Challah, relies on the concept of gerera. In a mixture of rice with enough wheat that the mixture tastes like wheat, the rice is drawn after the wheat and is considered itself to be wheat for halachic purposes. And specifically, this type of mixture is a valid form of matzah. Continuing in Halacha Hei, Isat haklavim, bizman sharu'im ochlin mimena, yotzeba yidei chovato. Ein haru'im ochlin mimena, eino yotzeba, she'ein zo mishtameret l'shem matzah. An isat klavim is a loaf of matzah made by shepherds from inferior parts of the wheat and intended for animal consumption. If it was made not only for animals, but for the shepherds as well, then it may be used as matzat mitzvah. But if it was made only for the animals, then one cannot be yotze with it. The reason is that this matzah was not mishtameret l'shem matzah. It was not baked with the intent of normal human consumption. We'll see the source of this requirement, along with another application, when we get to Halacha Tet. Continuing further in Halacha Hey, Matzah shel Asha b'mei Perot yotze b'idei chovato b'fesach, aval ein lashinota b'yayin o shemen o dvash o chalav, mishum lechem oni, kamo shebi'arnu, v'im lash v'achal lo yatza idei chovato, v'ein yotzin lo b'fat mursan v'lo b'fat subin, aval lashu et hakemach b'subin shelo uv'mursano v'osehu pat v'yotze b'idei chovato, v'chein pat solet nikiya b'yoter,
הרי זו מותרת.
ויוצא בה ידי חובתו בפסח, ואין אומרים בה, אין זה לחם עוני. Matzah kneaded in fruit juice is acceptable as matzah mitzvah. But this isn't true of matzah kneaded in wine, honey, oil, or milk, as such matzah is not lechem oni. There is a difficulty in this halacha. As the Rambam wrote in the last perek, perek Hei Halacha Chaf, that matzah qualifies as lechem oni only if it is kneaded in water, ela b'mayim bilvad. Whereas here, he seems to allow even mei perot, pure fruit juice, except for wine and oil, as well as honey and milk. The Raivin in his Asaga here indeed objects that matzah kneaded in any mei perot is not considered lechem oni, and one isn't yotze if he eats it, and this is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch as well. To resolve the contradiction in the Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah in Perek Hei suggests that the Rambam there, in limiting lechem oni to water alone, was speaking only lechatchila. Others, like the Radvaz, believe that when the Rambam wrote Mayim there, he meant to include Mei Perot as well. It's possible, though, that the Rambam believes there are two dinim of Lechem Oni. Recall that in Perakei, he said that one should not eat any matzah on the entire first day of Pesach, which isn't Lechem Oni. Here in Perak Vav, he is speaking of a different din, that one is not yotzei the mitzvah of eating matzah at the Seder if he eats matzah which isn't Lechem Oni. It may be that these dinim define lechem oni in different ways. On the entire first day, one should only eat matzah kneaded with water, the ideal form of lechem oni. If he eats matzah kneaded with fruit juice, then he is in violation of this requirement, but he can still be yotze the mitzvah of eating matzah at the Seder, because even this qualifies as lechem oni on a minimal level. However, matzah kneaded with wine, oil, milk, or honey does not represent lechem oni at all, and therefore one cannot even be yotze at the Seder with such matzah. The Magen Mishnah brings, in the name of several Rishonim, including the Ramban, a second objection to the Rambam's allowance of matzah made with mei perot. In Halacha Dalid, the Rambam wrote that because the psukim connect the isser of chametz to the mitzvah of matzah, one is only yotze the mitzvah with matzah made from one of the five grains, which can become chametz. The Ramban takes this linkage further. One is only yotze the mitzvah with matzah which could have become chametz if it hadn't been guarded against chimutz in the process of being kneaded and baked. According to the Ramban, any matzah which would never become chametz, even if the dough was left unbaked for a long time, is not acceptable for the mitzvah of eating matzah. Since we learned in the last perek that mei perot ein machmitzim, pure fruit juice, cannot cause dough to become chametz without some water mixed in, it follows that matzat mitzvah cannot be kneaded in fruit juice alone. As the Lecha Mishnah explains, the Rambam evidently has a more limited understanding of the link between the Isser of Chametz and the Mitzvah of Matzah. Matzat Mitzvah can only be made from a type of grain, which can, in the right circumstances, become Chametz, but it is not necessary in making Matzat Mitzvah to actually knead this grain in a manner which can cause Chimutz. In Halacha Vav, the Rambam writes that one is yotze the mitzvah with matzah baked in an oven or in a baking pot placed above a flame, called an ilfas, and it doesn't make a difference if the pot or oven was heated before or after the matzah dough was placed inside it. The Raivi disagrees in the case that the dough was placed inside prior to heating, as this may lead to chimutz because the dough sits out a long time while the oven or pot heats up. The Shulchan Aruch rules that the oven should indeed be heated up first, and the Mishnah Berurah adds that ideally one should not eat matzah made from dough which was placed in an oven before it was heated. The Rambam also rules that one can be yotze with matzah which had been soaked in water after baking, as long as it doesn't fall apart as a result, and as long as it wasn't cooked in water after baking. Poskim agree that soaked matzah should only be used by one who, due to sickness or age, cannot eat matzah in the normal manner and needs it to be softened. At the end of Halacha Yud, the Rambam himself recommends that such people eat matzah in this manner. Halacha Zayin. Ein adam yotze yidei chovato b'achilat matzah shehi asura lo, kigon she'achala tevel o ma'aser rishon shelo nitla trumato, o shegezala. Zehaklal, kol she mevarchin alav birkat hamazon, yotze bo yidei chovato, v'chol she'en mevarchin alav birkat hamazon, eino yotze bo yidei chovato. One is not yotze with matzah that it is forbidden to eat, like if it is made from tevel, or from maser rishon from which trumat maser was not yet taken. We saw in Hilchot Brachot Perek Aleph that it is considered a mockery of Hashem to bless him for food which was consumed in violation of an Avera. And the Rambam here explicitly extends this idea to the mitzvah of matzah. One cannot be yotzei this mitzvah with any matzah on which he may not say Birkat HaMazon. The Rambam includes stolen matzah on this list, which he did not mention explicitly in Hilchot Brachot. Nonetheless, the poskim rule that one may not make a bracha on stolen food, just as one cannot be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah with stolen matzah. And the exclusion of bracha may even be stronger, as we explain now. Based on the Yerushalmi, the Magen Mishnah here limits the problem of stolen matzah to a case where it had already been baked. If someone steals grain or flour and makes matzah out of it, then by the usual laws of gezeila, he acquires the matzah through the shinui, the change he has effected in the stolen object, and must compensate the owner for the stolen ingredients. Hence, in this case, he is yotzei the mitzvah with a matzah he created from the stolen ingredients. The Shulchan Aruch accepts this distinction, and the Rama adds that even in this case, he may not make the brachot of hamotzi and alachilat matzah on the matzah that he made, because the grain or flour it was made from was stolen. But the Rabbeinu Manoach here says that in this case, one even makes brachot, because the matzah is legally his. And the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchot Brachot quotes the opinion of the Magen Avram to omit the brachot before eating the matzah, which are rabbinic, but to save your katam azon, which is midoraita, assuming that he ate at least a kebetza of matzah. Halacha chet. Hakonim yotzin b'chala uvitruma, afal pishi matzah shena ruya l'chol adam. V'chein yotzin b'matzah shel maser sheni b'Yerushalayim. Aval ein yotzin b'matzah shel bikurim afilu b'Yerushalayim. Mipnei sh'abikurim ein bahen heter b'chol ha-moshavot. U'maser sheni efshar shi'padev yachel b'chol makom. V'chatuv b'chol moshavoteichem tochlu matzot. Matzah ruya l'yachel b'chol ha-moshavot, hi sh'yotzin ba yidei chova. Kohanim are yotzei, the mitzvah, with matzah made from challah or truma, even though non-Kohanim are not allowed to eat it. The pasuk of B'chol Moshevoteichem Tochlu Matzot teaches that matzah mitzvah must be made from ingredients which it is permitted to eat in any location. It's true that Maaser Sheni must be eaten in Yerushalayim, but it can also be redeemed onto money and then eaten anywhere. So one is yotzei, the mitzvah of matzah, with a matzah made from Maaser Sheni. And this is true even if he uses unredeemed Maaser Sheni and eats the matzah in Yerushalayim. But even a Kohen may not be yotzei with matzah made from grains of Bikurim, as there is no permitted way to eat Bikurim outside Yerushalayim. Halacha tet, chalot toda urikikei nazir shasa otan latzmo, ein yotzin behen, shenamar ushmartem atamatzot, matzah hamishtameret linyan matzah bilvad hush yotzin ba, aval zo mishtameret linyan hazevach, v'im asayan limkor bashuk, hare ze yotzei ba yidei chovato, shaoseh limkor bashuk bedato shim lo yimachru yochal otan, v'imtsa bishat asiyatan shmaran l'shem matzah. There are certain korbanot with which one brings matzot, namely, a korban todah, and the korbanot which a nazir brings when his period of nazirut is completed. If one makes matzot for himself to use in the context of one of these korbanot, then he may not change his mind and use them as matzot mitzvah on Pesach, for the same reason we saw back in Halacha Hey regarding isat klavim. Matzat mitzvah must be made and guarded from chimutz with the intent of normal human consumption, mishtameret l'shem matzah, not to bring as part of a korban. But if he made these matzot not for himself, but to sell to others who need them for their korbanot, then he may use them as matzat mitzvah, as his implicit intent when making them was to keep for himself anything that he doesn't sell. Many Rishonim have an additional understanding of mishtamert l'shem matzah, which does not appear in the Rambam, namely that the matzah must be kneaded and baked with specific intent, lishma, that it be used to fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah on the Seder night. We've seen the concept of lishma before in Hilchot Tfilin and in Hilchot Tzitzit, and one ramification we saw in those contexts was that anything which requires lishma cannot be done by a non-Jew or by a Jew who lacks da'at, like a cheresh shota v'katan. The Shulchan Aruch indeed rules that none of these people may knead or bake matzat mitzvah. Since the middle of the 19th century, when machines were introduced in the process of making matzot, poskim have dealt with the question of whether matzah produced in such a manner is valid as matzah mitzvah, and if so, if it is preferable to matzah made entirely by hand. On the one hand, especially as technology has improved over the decades, machine-made matzah is much better guarded against chimutz. On the other hand, some poskim question whether this matzah can be considered to have been made lishma. In practice, many poskim consider machine matzah to be the preferred choice, even for the Seder night, and believe that lishma is accomplished through the medium of whatever human action is required to activate the machine, even if this is only pressing a button. Other poskim, including Rav Avadi Yosef, recommend using handmade matzah for the Seder, and some groups of Hasidim eat only handmade matzah throughout the holiday. Halacha Yud. Hakol chayevin b'achilat matzah afilu nashim v'avadim. Katan shiachol lechol pat mechanchin oto b'mitzvot u'machilin oto kazayit matzah. Women are obligated in the mitzvah of eating matzah, even though this is a mitzvah tasei shazman grama, because the Gemara in Psachim learns from Psukim that anyone who is forbidden to eat chametz is obligated to eat matzah. This is another example of the linkage between the Isra of chametz and the mitzvah of matzah, which we saw earlier regarding the types of grain which are relevant in both contexts. A child old enough to eat bread must eat matzah at the Seder based on the usual mitzvah of chinuch. Halacha Yud Aleph. Midivrei sofrim she'ein maftirin achar matzah klum, afilu klayot ve'gozim v'chayotze behen, ela af al pi shachal matzah, v'achal acharei machalot acherot uferot v'chayotze behen, chozer v'ochel kazait matzah v'achrona ufosek. The mitzvah d'oraita of matzah is fulfilled even if other foods are eaten after it, but midrabanan, one must conclude the meal with a kazait of matzah and eat nothing more after it. We know of this last kazayit of matzah as the afikoman, and the Rambam will say more about it in Perek Chet, where we will also discuss it further. Halacha Yud Bet. Asru chachamim lechol matzah be'erev ha-pesach, kidei shiyeh heker lachilata be'erev, umi shachal matzah be'erev ha-pesach, makinoto makat mardut. Chazal created a rabbinic prohibition forbidding eating any matzah on Erev Pesach, so that the consumption of matzah that night will be distinct and clearly recognized as being done for the purpose of the mitzvah. One who eats matzah on Erev Pesach gets the punishment of makat mardut. The Shulchan Aruch permits eating matzah ashira, that is, matzah kneaded with fruit juice, on Erev Pesach, as the prohibition applies only to matzah, which may be used for the mitzvah at night. And we saw in Halacha Dalid that for the Shulchan Aruch, as for the Ravid, but not for the Rambam, matzah kneaded with fruit juice may not be used for the mitzvah. But Ashkenazim, as we discussed in the last parak, do not eat matzah ashira at all on Pesach based on a concern about chametz. And this concern clearly applies on Erev Pesach as well, when it is also forbidden to eat chametz. Even foods made with matzah meal, which is just finely ground matzah, are considered by the Rama as just another form of matzah, which must be avoided on Erev Pesach. The conclusion for Ashkenazim is that no foods on which one makes a hamotzi or a mezonot may be eaten after the fourth hour on Erev Pesach, either because they are or may possibly be chametz, or because they are a form of matzah. Continuing in Halacha Yud Bet, V'chein asur lechol Erev HaPesach mikodem hamincha bima'at, kidei shikanes lachilat matzah b'ta'ava, aval ochel hu ma'at peirot o yirakot, v'lo yimalei kreisomehen. והחכמים הראשונים היו מרעיבים עצמן ערב הפסח כדי לאכול מצה בתאווה, ויהיו מצוות חביבים עליו, אבל בשאר ערבי ימים טובים, אוכל והולך עד שתחשך. It is also forbidden to start a meal in the late afternoon of Erev Pesach, in order to begin the holiday with an appetite for the matzah. One may eat some fruits and vegetables, but should be careful not to fill up on them. The early sages would starve themselves on Erev Pesach in order to eat matzah with a hearty appetite, as a way of showing their love for mitzvot. The Rambam ends with a statement that this limitation on eating before the holiday applies only to Pesach and not to other holidays. But we saw in Hilchot Yom Tov that part of Kvod Yom Tov is abstaining from eating a meal on the afternoon of Erev Yom Tov. The Rambam statement here in Hilchot Chametz Umatzah should be understood to mean that the prohibition on Erev Pesach is more serious and transcends the usual concern of Kvod Yom Tov. It is rooted, rather, in the necessity to fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah at the Seder with an appetite as an expression of love for fulfilling mitzvot. Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishneh Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.